Okay, so we are Musar Day of Perek Chaf. We are on the 14th of May, 2018, the 29th day, I guess, of Iyar. Yes, the English anniversary of the Declaration of Independence in Israel, and of course the opening of the U.S. Embassy took place today. Oh, it's open. You can go stand online for hours and waiting for your passport to be. The line is already formed for tomorrow's passport stamping. Okay, so a couple things to talk about over the last parak of Parshas Kedoshim. The first parak of Parshas Kedoshim seems to get a lot more notice than the last parak, but there's still a couple things left over here. So number one is that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin that there's a list of arayos here, and amongst those lists of arayos is the bestiality. The bestiality is also prohibited. So the Gemara tells. So we learn that not only is a person chayiv misa for that, but the animal is chayiv misa for that. The animal also is going to be put to death if it was involved in this type of activity. So why should that be? So the Gemara itself raises that question. Right, the animal didn't sin. So the Gemara answers, because it caused a takala, it caused a disaster for a person that came through it. And also, so that there won't be, that the animal won't walk through the shuk, and people are going to point at it and say, oh, that's the Yankel, was with that animal, and that's what caused Yankel's downfall. So it'll cause extra embarrassment to Yankel. It sounds like we're concerned about the embarrassment to Yankel, and therefore we don't do it. Now, Rabag adds, the Rabag adds two additional reasons, as quoted here in the Chidushi Alev. Number one is ki hazechira hazos tavo laharhir avera. That the remembrance of this animal will actually cause a hirhor avera so long as it is seen. They'll remember. Oh, this is the second one that he mentions. I'm not sure what two answers he says, but the problem is that this animal is alive. It's not necessarily going to cause an embarrassment to the person. The way the Rabag explains it is that people might start getting ideas. They're going to see that animal and say, oh, he... yes, something like that. That people might get ideas from doing it. So as Sam sort of rolled his eyes, I saw that, and Bruce is also mocking fun of it as well, mocking it a little bit as well.
When they say if you put lipstick on a pig,
it's sure. So the Chidushi Aleiv points out something here very important. He says Lomden Anu Mikan. We learn from here, says Rav Henoch Leibowitz, Ad Kama Rotz Ator Shesrach B'Yachid. How far the Torah wants to keep us away from sin. That the Rabag says that we're obligated because of the ideas that a person might get from this. But yet, right, we do know that the Torah is Chasa Amamona Shel Yisrael. The Torah is nervous about people losing money. The Torah doesn't want people to lose their money. But yet it's worth it. Meaning even if it's not the person's animal who did it, still the animal is put to death. Even if it wasn't, right, if someone took someone else's animal, the animal is still going to be put to death. And we are nervous about the money of the people, but still, it's worth it because of this fear of this impurity, of this idea for this type of chait seeping into Bnei Yisrael. Now, most people aren't choshish for this. In fact, there is a halacha in Eben Ezer. There's a halacha in Eben Ezer that a person does not have to be... you don't have to be choshish for yichud with an animal. That's what it says, that there is no concern about yichud with animals. Now, that section actually concludes with that there is a concern about yichud with the same sex, that there is concern about it, not necessarily that one has to be machmir for it, certainly not to the same extent that you would be with a male and a female, but the Shulchan Aruch does record there being a chumrah of men not having yichud continuously together. In fact, when I learned Tilchos Yichud, I remember I learned Tilchos Yichud over the summer before I started dating. I learned the yichud over the summer Mor Shakol, so I remember speaking with Rabbi Willing about this issue. He said, yeah, that's they started being machmir and NCSY Shabbatones about this, not to have just two boys in the same room together, but to make sure that there's more than that in a room together. So anyway, so we're not, but with animals, we're not choshish for it. But yet, we still have this this concern. So then he concludes by saying, so if the Torah is so concerned about that particular aspect of znus, such that even though a person doesn't have a yitzhahara for it, and even though it's going to cost money, and even though it's a far-fetched sin, so how much more so we should take seriously the other gedarim that the Torah has set up and that the Rabbanan has set up in order to avoid sins that people do perhaps have greater taivas for. So that's piece number one from Penach Leibowitz. I only caught that. What? Yeah. Yeah, but Shiloh.
So we're just gonna kill off this name or whatever it is, and
there's a concern.
Away or something? Is that?
I'm not sure you can even. I mean, it's.
What do you do with
it? I think it might be Aser Bahana. I think it might be a Shura Niska, in which case it's Aser Bahana.
So, the animal?
The animal, yeah.
Yes.
I think it's buried. It's gone.
You just
buried the
I was going to say, burn him up, whatever.
Give it to the caliph.
Well, yeah,
no, I don't think you could do that.
I get that.
That would be. What?
You just throw it into your trash heap.
I seem to recall something about it might be necessary to bury it, but I don't remember. Okay. They got to check back in the sugyas in Masechta Sanhedrin here. Okay, so that's issue number one. But I caught that more because of the next piece that Rav Henoch has here, and that is the there's an interesting pasuk. Take a look at Perek Chaf Pasuk Yud Zayin. So Perek Chaf Pasuk Yud Zayin is the prohibition of man and his sister being together. So V'yishishir Yikach Esachosu Basavivu Basimo. A person takes his sister, whether via the father or the mother, meaning even a half-sister, V'ra Es Ervasa, and sees her erva, V'hi Tireh Es Ervaso, and she sees his erva, which implies, I think, that it's consensual. I think that that's the facts that the Gemara is trying, that the Pasuk is trying to establish. So Chesed Hu, it is a Chesed. Right, and they're going to then get karis and be cut off from the people of their nation because he's uncovered the erva of his sister. But there's that those two words in there. Chesed hu. It's a chesed. So how do you translate that? So if we look at the translation here, what does it say? It is a disgrace and they shall be cut off. It is a disgrace. That's how it's translated in the Art School Chumash. It's a disgrace. So when does chesed mean disgrace? So Rashi comments in Pasuk Yud Zayin, there is Lashon Arami Cherpa, that Chesed is the Aramaic meaning of Cherpa. What does the Cherpa mean? Cherpa means disgrace. So Rashi says that the Aramaic word for Cherpa is Chesed. Now you have a little bit of a problem. Why is the Torah all of a sudden inserting Aramaic into the Torah itself? But just go with this for a little bit. The Rashi says, and where do we see that from? From Bereishis Lamed Dalet Yud Dalet Chasuda. Where are we? What is it talking about? So Lamed Dalet Yud Dalet is in Bereishis. Anybody know what that's talking about? It's Parshas Vayishlach. It's the story of Dina's abduction. That Shimon and Levi say to each other, right? How can we allow this? I forget if this cherpa. I think the term cherpa is used. Let's just quickly check. Lamed Dalet. There it is. Vayomer Shechem. No. Lamed Dalet Yud Dalet. In Bereishis, it says, "So vayomru aleihem lo nucha lasos adavar." So it says, "Achenu isha shelo erla," that we can't give. This is when they're describing the deal. I mean, we can't give over our sister to men that have an orla, that still have their foreskin. Ki cherpa hi lanu. That would be a cherpa for us. What does cherpa mean? A disgrace. That'd be a disgrace for us. Says the Targum here on the side. Ligvar dilei orlasa are chisuda hilana. That would be a chisuda to us. So that's Aramaic. The word for cherpa in Aramaic, the word for disgrace in Aramaic is chisuda. So Rashi suggests that that's what's going on here. Right? We can't give it.
So there they're using the Aramaic word.
Yeah.
Well, here they're using something.
No, here they're using the Aramaic word. Yeah, there they weren't. Yeah. Yes, it is. Right, I hear it. It's a good question. I remember the first Giris person I ever dealt with, still in Riverdale, actually. So I learned with him for a little bit. We're sort of preparing for his conversion. And at some point, like, the question just had to come up, like, you know, are you going to have to get a bris? Like, you know, you sort of have to ask that question. This is so, you know, just wanted to ask you, in terms of, you know, one of the requirements is, you know, circumcision. She looks at me and says, "What, Rabbi, you think I'm sporting a foreskin?" Oh, I'm not. Okay. Phew. Good. All right. Anyways. So then Rashi continues on and says, "Midrasho im tomar kai nesachu." So chesed asa hamakom livnos olamo mimenu. And he says, but the Medrash points out that im tomar kai, that Kain says nasa achuso, that Kain actually had to marry his sister. So chesed asa hamakom. So Hashem did a chesed in that He built the world from them. Shneimar olam chesed yibane. That the world is built on chesed. What does it mean built on chesed? It's built on the chesed that was done in that, I guess, Hashem permitted or it was necessary for Kayin actually to marry his sister. So that's the hint here. Meaning, so I think what Rashi is then is saying is that, yes, it's true that this is prohibited from the Torah, but recognize, A, there's a desire, and B, we acknowledge the idea that this was once used in order to establish the rest of the world. But nevertheless, the Torah is coming along and prohibiting it. So that's pshat, those are the two pshatim of Rashi. So the Ramban comes along and he says, I'll give you my own pshat. What I think correct is chesed shehu b'mashmo. No, it actually means as it says, right? What does chesed mean? Chesed means kindness. V'chein das rabo zeinu hiskir ki haya ro'i liyos gomel nafsho ish chesed. That it was fitting for the person to do chesed. V'hu ocher saro achsari. And yet instead he was cruel. Ki haya ro'i shiyasa ima ha-chesed. He was supposed to do a chesed with her. What's the greatest chesed that a brother could do for his sister? Shiyasu ha-achim la-si la-bal. That they'd be able to find a good guy in the Beis Medrash to marry his sister. So v'hu pogim v'ochosa. And he didn't just not do that, but he was pogim her. He made her worse. The fact that he was with her made her puts her in a worse position than she was in that she's chai misa now. Right? He's made it worse. Meaning he had the opportunity to do a chesed, but instead of doing a chesed, he did this word. Now I'm not sure how you read that into the pasuk on a pshat level, but nevertheless, that's the Ramban. The Ramban is quoting that idea of chesed, using this idea to explain what that word is doing, or that's coming to hint for this idea. So that we have a complaint against him. So the Ramban, so this comes the Chiddush Aleph and says, however, the Ramban needs a little bit of explanation. Lama yish tvias ala ach al shelo dag lachuso. Why is there only a taina on the brother that he wasn't nervous about his sister? Right? It was consensual on both sides. Varigamhi lo daig alatzma. She should worry about herself. Right? Viskim luzosimo. Right? She agreed to be with him. Otherwise, she wouldn't be chayiv misa, right? If he raped her, right, she wouldn't be chayiv misa. So if it's tzarech lomer, so how do we understand that? She'afal pikein, even so, we have a taina on the brother. She'afil v'mikra shekizeh, a love lidogla. That even in this situation, where she was, for all we know, seducing him, still, he should have been nervous about this situation. It should have entered the picture, not just, oh, I have a desire to do this, but beyond just simply having a desire to do this, an addition. A, I know it is prohibited. Despite my desire for you, it's usher from the Torah. And even if it wasn't, and even if I'm ready to violate the prohibition of the Torah, I should still have an additional concern about the impact it's going to have on your future shidduch possibilities. Right? That should also enter the picture, and it didn't. So Arikam Duber, so but still, okay, fine, that's great. But he continues on and says, but no, you still need to wonder about this Ramban. Who are we talking about here? The guy who didn't do chesed. Who's the guy who didn't do chesed? He is the guy who is about to do incest, right? Harei kan medur ba'adam rasha u'bal taiva. We're talking about a person who's evil, a person who is a bal taiva, a person who is desirous. She'avar b'mezid chet chamur liznos imisurei erva. That he's ready to violate this terrible sin of znus, with gilur arayot, something that's yehorig val yavor. So why is the Torah all of a sudden standing up and say, besides that he shouldn't have, besides the fact that he doesn't care about Gilui Arayos, he also doesn't care about the favor he could be doing for her. Right? How does that even enter the picture? So perhaps he explains, no, it's true that is a terrible sin. But even when a person is in deep violation of a sin of Gilui Arayos, you still have a need to do chesed. It doesn't mean that the obligation for chesed has just fallen away. Oh, you've reached too low a level. You've gone too dark, deep into the depths that we don't care about anything that you do anymore, right? You're beyond help. No, even when a person is in that low state, they still have opportunity, and B, they have the obligation to go ahead and do additional acts of chesed. It brings an interesting raya from a medrash that appears in the next parsha. We're in Parshas Kedoshim, so it's in Parshas Amor, which was for us 2 weeks ago. We read this parsha. What is the section, the very beginning of the second day of Yantav? The second day of Yantav, the first 2 days of Sukkot and the second day on Pesach. So I always had wondered about this, why we have this before. We open that leaning, not with the reading of the Moedim and Emor, but we open it a couple of psukim before where you have the section of Kiddush Hashem and you have the section of laws against animal cruelty. Why that's in the leaning of the second day of Pesach, I don't really understand, or of the holidays, I don't really understand. Dr. Weiss once gave me a pshat, which I liked and wanted to develop more, but I forgot what it was. I got to ask him again. But anyways, but the pasuk says, "V'shur oseh osov yaspinolo sishchatu biyom echad." So one of the halachos there mentions that a shur or aseh, osov yaspino, so it and its child, one is not permitted to kill on the same day. So that is actually a halacha, right? We'll try not to. It's a prohibition to purposely kill a parent and mother and child on the same day of animals. I mean, if you shecht them halachically correct, right, you're still going to be, you still have to make sure that you're not killing mother and child on the same day. So comments the Medrash, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekasa Besorah. So this is a reference to Hashem, where it says in the Torah, Lo Sikacha Eim Al Banim, that you shouldn't take the mother with the young, right? That's the pasuk that's quoted later. Sorry, I didn't read the whole Medrash. Yudeyat Tzadik Nefesh Behem Tov. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, the righteous one knows the needs of an animal soul. What's that referring to? That's Hashem with regards to whom it says in the Torah that you shouldn't take the mother with the son. But the mercies of the wicked are cruel. What is that referring to? This is talking about Sancheiriv, that he said the mother and children were torn asunder. I mean, he got rid of mothers and children together. Davar Acher, this is perhaps more easy for us to get. Yodeya Tzadik, this idea of the Yodeya Tzadik, the Tzadik knows, what is that referring to? To Hashem, about whom it says, V'shor Oseh Osov Yaspinos Yishkatu B'yom Echad. The Rachamei Rishayim Achzari, and the mercies of the wicked are cruel, Zeh Haman HaRasha. That's referring to Haman, Dechsiv, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulabet. That he said, we're going to destroy, to slay, and exterminate all the Jews. Minar v'yadzakim tafen hashim v'yom achad, b'shushra asar v'chod hashim asar v'chod hashim. The mother and children on the same day, etc., etc., etc. So the Meforshim point out, well, what is the cruelty of Haman? I mean, what is it talking about that he is cruel? So the commentaries explain, right, that says the Perish Maharzu. So Haman Tinag Achsarius Peshin Yofanim Echad Shelo Himtin Lenolad Zayin Yamim, that he didn't wait for children to be 7 days old, that he was ready to kill them even if they were less than 7 days old. V'gam Ratzalarok Tafin Hashim Avos V'imos Ubanim Biyom Echad, and he wanted to kill all of them on one day, which the Torah describes as being a particular act of cruelty. Right. What could Haman have done? If Haman really felt it necessary to kill all the Jews, so spread it out a little bit so that you're not so cruel. What? Why is that helpful? So Rav Henoch here explains that no, you even have that taina. I mean, even a person who is going to be a mass murderer, even a person who is going to do terrible, terrible, terrible things, right, it doesn't absolve them of the need for chesed. I mean, it doesn't solve that issue. There's always a way to be, you know, A, Hashem's still going to have that taina on you, right? That you were cruel. And B, it also means, I think the lesson is that no matter how low you go, there still is hope for you. There still are things that are demanded. There still is a way that you're able to come back. There is a famous Rav Shlomo Karba.
Except he's bringing a goy to discuss this in this particular case.
Okay. Yeah, okay. You have a taina on Haman. Yeah.
I mean, would we take any other mass murderers as having a similar opportunity to be nice at some point? I don't know. I'm throwing that out.
I mean, Nebuzaradan came back, right? Nebuzaradan came back. I don't know.
Developing this off of the incest between the brother and the sister.
Right.
And that
So what is the kindness therein that he ignored also the kindness to Hermi? Not only did he violate this, that he followed his taivas, he followed his desires, etc., but he also.
But the lesser is that way. What do we learn out from it? That we can't be too, that we try to be too kind. That it's
no. I don't think that's the what I hear is, first of all, that even Hashem expects things of even lowly people. That even though, oh, I'm violating so much, I'm in such dire straits, Hashem doesn't care about me anymore. No, Hashem still takes you to task. But beyond that, also that hope is never lost. I mean, that there still is a way then for a person to be able to come back. There is a story, you can track it down online, of Shlomo Karlbach with the Rebbe of the Ganovs. You know this story? I've told it in Shul before, a couple of years ago. Got to go. Go track it down. I don't remember all the details to it now, but there was the somebody who came to a rebbe who said, you know, I need bracha for parnasa. He says, what do you do for a living? He says, oh, I'm a ganos. I'm a ganav. So the rebbe like yelled at him, "Get out of here! I don't give any brachos to the ganav." He said, "Oh, you're not—I forget who the they were. This is a story from the early Hasidim. Oh, you're not as great as him because he would give me a bracha, and you don't give me a bracha." And he helped me, etc. Go find it out online. Anyways, I was also very excited because I came to this from the Chiddush Aleph. I love the Chiddush Aleph and came to this medrash in the Art School medrash here. And the insights on the bottom, it quotes the Chiddush Aleph. Back and forth. Yes, he was of some sort or another. Yes, Reish Lakish was able to come back. Rabbi Kiva also was able to come back. Rabbi Kiva doesn't describes himself as being pretty far in the depths, and he was able to come back. Yeah. Okay. One more thought along these lines. There is a Rambam, the last Rambam in Hilchos Me'ila, which also happens to be the end of Hilchos Kachim, the book of Avoda of the Rambam. So it concludes with the section Hilchos Me'ila. What is the laws of Me'ila? What do even the words mean? What?
It's taking temple property.
Taking temple property, right, or defaming temple property, right. That is the halachos of Me'ila. So at the very end, there are a couple places in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah where he, especially at the end of certain halachos, starts getting a little bit philosophical. So this is one of those places. So he makes the comment that a person should be careful with regards to the Torah HaKadosha, v'leida sof inyanim kivikocho, to know them, v'davar shelo yimtza lo tam, v'lo yada lo ayala al yehe kal be'inav. But something that he can't find a reason for shouldn't be light in his eyes, v'lo yechrom la lo sal Hashem pen yifrotz bo, that he shouldn't hesitate to climb up to Hashem, lest he break, etc. V'lo tehe machshavaso bo, k'machshavaso b'shar divrei achol. And his thoughts about Torah shouldn't be like his thoughts about other divrei achol. Meaning he should recognize it for Kedusha, even though he doesn't necessarily know the reason. Bo aray, come and see, kama hechmir Torah b'me'ila. See how strict Hashem is with regards to the law of Me'ila. Umayim eitzim va'avanim va'afar ve'efer, kibush nikra shem adon ha'olam aleihem, that when it comes to sticks and stones and dust and ashes, that if a person puts the name of Hashem on them, like these are God's ashes or something, right? B'vad niskachu v'chol hanoi behem minachol malba. So he has violated the din. And then he goes ahead and uses it. So you have done me'ila. V'afilu hayashogeg tzarech kapara. And even if you did it by accident, so you require a kapara on it. So kavachomer lemitzvah shechakak lanu laKadosh Baruch Hu shelo yibay ta'adam mehem mifnei shelo yada taiman. So kavachomer a mitzvah that Hashem gave us that a person shouldn't kick away just because he doesn't know the reason. V'lo yachba dvar asher lo kein al shem v'lo yachshu behem machshavos kedivrei chol. Therefore, he shouldn't just make it meaningless. Harei nemar b'Torah, it says in the Torah, and this is a pasuk from our parak as well as from the parak before. Ushmartem eschukol choch chusai v'eschukol mishpatai v'asisem osam. You should watch all of my chukim and all of my him, and you should go ahead and do that. And the Rambam actually goes on for a pretty long time here, relatively long time, describing how important it is not just to observe the halachos that you know, but also to observe the mitzvahs that you don't know and that you don't know. Fine. So there is a bit of a question. What?
You don't understand.
Yeah, we don't understand the reason for it. We don't know the reason for it. So there is a bit of a interesting thing here. What does that have to do with Me'ila? Right, what does it have to do with Mi'ilah? Mi'ilah is, again, where you nullify something that was there. So even, so again, what was the Rambam's line here? Even though you take Eitzim and Avanim and you've been makdish them, you sanctified them, and you could turn them, and you turn them to nothing, you're going to be chayiv. So too, mitzvahs that you don't understand, be careful with them, lest you nullify those mitzvahs. So the Evan Ezel, who wrote the Evan Ezel? Anybody know? Evan Ezel? His mother didn't call him the Evan Ezel. Evan Ezel is Isser Zalman Meltzer. Heard that name?
Yeah.
Okay, Isser Zalman Meltzer was Rav Aaron Cutler's father-in-law.
And related to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky.
Related to Rav Yaakov? How's that?
Somebody married somebody.
Well, Verschnitzach.
I'm not involved in all these...
High-level negotiations. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer's daughter married Rav Aaron Cutler. He was the Rav in Slutsk, where Rav Aaron Cutler also took over Slutsk or Kletsk, I forget which one, in which order. Rav Aaron ultimately ended up in America. Rav Isser Zalman ended up in Eretz Yisrael. He was the head of the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva. So Rabbi Levine here learned in the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva as a young boy. I believe even from Rav Isser Zalman. I'm not sure the years, but I think so. So he wrote a sefer on the Rambam. He's most prominent known today as the, you know, for a sefer on the Rambam, the Evan Ozel. Some interesting stories with him, particularly when he got to Israel. So, anyways. Okay. So to continue on. So he raises a more lumdisha question on this Rambam, where he says, you know, what did the Rambam just say? If you take dirt and dust and you defile them, how are you defiling them? Meaning, presumably it sounds like you put you said this is going to be kadosh dirt, and someone else comes along and puts it in their garden or something. You know, they don't use it for kadosh love. Or I shouldn't use that example. They just do nothing with it. They just pour it out, they get rid of it. So, meaning they don't get any hanah for it. So points out Rav Isser Zalman, that's against the shita of the Rambam. There is a machlokas rishonim. If you're chayiv for mi'ilah, would you violate mi'ilah if you don't get any benefit from it? I mean, just by defiling it without getting any benefit from it. So Tosfos says yes, and the Rambam says no. So Rav Isser Zalman scratches his head and says, you know, it's very interesting. Now the plot thickens a little bit. That specifically the case where the Rambam would seem to paskin that you would not be chayiv mi'ilah, that's the example that he uses for being chayiv mi'ilah to teach this grand lesson of don't make the mitzvahs of the Torah subjective to your own reasoning. Do them regardless. Do them no matter what. So Rav Isser Zalman continues on and explains that, well, What is the Rambam attempt? What is the fear that a person is going to take? The fear is that a person goes and learns the reasons for the mitzvos and says, oh, so that's the reason for it. This is what I assume the reason is, and therefore the reason doesn't apply to me, or the reason doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. And therefore the person is going to push away. They're not going to bother with those mitzvos anymore. So that's what he is guarding against. So the comparison then to Mi'ilah, says Rav Isser Zalman, is that when is a person, how does that work? How does that process work? That a person says, I'm going to raise these questions on the mitzvos, and therefore it's not going to apply to me anymore. So he says it only works, that when does that really happen? If a person honestly is looking at it and saying, you know, I understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do these mitzvos, and I'm going to try to figure out the reason for it, and then they have trouble figuring out what the reason is. So will that person say, I'm going to kick it away? No, right? I just haven't gotten to that point of understanding yet. Who is the person about whom we are afraid about this is? The person who is attempting to remove the responsibility of mitzvahs for themselves. That's who we're really nervous about. That's the fear. That's really what the commandment is about, who the Rambam is talking about. Right? You don't think that just because you don't know the reason, so therefore you're now going to nullify, you're now going to push away, you're now going to take over all those things. So the connection to then to Mi'ilah is, he says, are you getting any hana from this dirt and from this dust and etc.? Says Rav Isser Zalman, you're getting the ultimate hana for yourself if that's how you're going to absolve yourself of mitzvos. right? I'm looking at these things, and I'm going to say there's no value to them. By making them valueless, so if by making them valueless, we're only talking about the dirt and the dust and the ashes. So okay, you're not getting enough from it. But by making it valueless, now you're free. Now I don't have to worry about Torah mitzvahs anymore. So that's the benefit. That's the message that he's trying to draw out of the Mi'ilah. And he explains. He quotes first. He says the story. B'shamati b'shem gon echad. I heard from a brilliant person once. And he said one of the kofrim once came over to him and said, "I have all these questions, and I can't answer these questions. So that's why I'm now a kofer." So which the rabbi, to which the goan said back to him, he says, "Your problem isn't that you have questions that you don't know answers to; is that your answers for all of the things that you do are your questions. Right? The questions that you have are really your answers for why you're acting in the way that you do." And he says, "And that explains pshat in the Haggadah on Pesach."
Yeah.
Which part of the Haggadah on Pesach that it says by the Rasha? The Rasha said, "What is the line by the Rasha?" Lefisha hotzi mina klal, what? Yeah, I understand. That's what we all know. But he says, Lefisha, where is it? Lefisha hotzi es atzo min haklal, kafir be'ikr. That because he has removed himself from the group, he is kofir be'ikr. He denies Torah, right? He's denying Hashem, he's denying Torah, etc. So he says, it's backwards. Right, when does a person remove themselves from the group? When a person should first be a kofir, right? They first deny Hashem, and then they remove themselves from the group. So what's pshat in the Haggadah that it says he removed himself from the group? He says, no. As a person first, generally speaking, in the 20th century, how does it work? That a person removes themselves from the group, and then they have to justify themselves. A person has removed themselves from Torah mitzvahs, and then they have to justify themselves. How do they justify themselves? Oh, now I'm going to come and figure out all these kashas and all these questions, etc. And that's what's going to cause me to. That's what's going to cause me to leave. But really, why did he leave? Because he wanted to be free. So actually, this reminds me. Oh, wow! Is someone waiting outside? Coming. A couple of years ago, I remember there was the Pew research thing that came out about, it was a huge thing that came out, and one of the tainas was that why do people leave, the people that left Orthodoxy, what was the reason they left? Because they couldn't find explanations for modernity or because of Orthodoxy's treatment of women, or all these things that we raise up. So some people said, aha, you see, you better come up with all these answers otherwise. So a friend of mine pointed out, that's not true. Why did they leave? They left because they met some girl in college that was willing to do whatever with them, right? What's then their hesber? What's then their explanation for why they left? Oh, so now I can go back and remember all those questions that I had in high school I never got an answers to, right? But that's what's going on in this Rambam. Don't, you know, go back to the story. You have to, the starting point is that you got to do them. Once you're doing them, so then you can then go and ask legitimate questions and honest questions, hopefully seek honest answers. Okay, stop here.